Unmute.
Doesn't say who's milking the cows, whether Sabine was milking the cows and her mother was standing off to one side. Will she just, Michael, will you just get out of my space? Yeah. I used to have a wing.
So therefore be proud to be a decent American rather than be just a wanker whipping up fear. Yeah.
This week's Chaser episode, where we do a little deep dive on something that's in the news, is about outgoing, beloved President Michael D. Higgins.
He is. He's beloved by lots of people, but then there's other people who absolutely can't stand him. But
yeah, boring people. So before we get
into... Can I remind you of our charter? We've no charter. Go on.
So I'll give a bit of background about Michael D and we can talk about our own opinions. So Michael D. Higgins was born in Limerick. I don't think a lot of people know that. I think a lot of people think he's Galway. Michael D. Higgins was born in Limerick in 1941. He is the son of an IRA veteran of the War on Independence. He grew up in a very poor family and his dad was quite sick. Five-year-old Michael and his four-year brother John were sent to Clare to live with their uncle and aunt, while his sisters stayed in Limerick to look after their mammy and daddy. Michael D did not start school until he was 7, but he had learned to read at home. In the house, there was always books and papers. He passed his Leaving Cert in Latin and Greek. He worked in a factory where he became a union rep, and then he worked as a clerk in a bank. He went on to attend University College Galway, which I think a lot of people then learned. His love affair with Galway began. He became a scholar and a poet, and then he moved to America and did a master's in sociology at Indiana University. Okay, you ready for some scandal? As a student, he joined Fianna Fáil, much like a lot of people did, including Mary Lou McDonald.
That's where you serve your apprenticeship in politics.
Yeah, you have to join Fianna Fáil first. So he joined Fianna Fáil but was driven away by his socialist beliefs. He changed then to the Labour Party. He ran for the Dáil in 1969 and 1973 and lost them both. But he was nominated to the Seanad by Liam Cosgrave, the Taoiseach at the time. In the Seanad is where he made his name as a left-wing activist on domestic and international issues. He's advocated for women's rights, gay rights and the rights of those with autism, other disabilities and the poor.
Just on the, like, Seanad gets a lot of kicks and there can be some mad yokes turn up in it. But if a good person doesn't get elected, whatever about somebody who loses their seat and it's like it can be
retirement,
a sort of a parachute easing you back in. But a good young politician as a place, regardless of their opinions or their ideology, as a place to learn your trade.
Yes.
It's not bad. As well as local politics.
A lot of people can move from the Seanad and the Dáil. Some people do the Seanad incredibly well. For instance, Michael D. Higgins' own daughter, Alice Mary, has never ran for TD. She wants to be a senator. Same as Lan Rhian, never ran for TD. Want to be senators. Francis Black, the same. There has been a number of senators, though, who do use it as a jumping off point then in the Dáil, in the lower house. And that's what Michael D. Higgins did. He married Sabina Coyne in 1974 and they have four children. So Sabina was born in County Galway. Oh my God, we've so much Galway this week. Sabina was born in Galway and she moved to Dublin at 18 where she began acting and founded the Focused Theatre with Deirdre O'Connell. She was also in a 1996 RT series called Insurrection and she is now a patron of various arts and community programmes.
Oh, we must look for that clip. I wonder if it's still available. Yeah.
She met Michael D in 1969 and married him in 1974. They have four children, including the senator, Alice Mary Higgins. And as a mature student, she later earned a BA and an MA in theatre from NUI Galway.
According to Wikipedia, and I always have to say that just in case, She attended national school in Ballandine, County Mayo. Her mother would tell her stories from Charles Dickens while milking the cows. an influence on her later decision to take up acting, which she trained using the Stanislavski system. So I just need to double check
what that is.
Whether, like, again, I'll find it, and all the sources will be from Wikipedia. But I mean, that's a great story if true.
great story if true.
Well, the Google AI prompt says, and also Irish Independent from 2016. Hers was a bookish house.
And much like his.
Yeah. And she was, and her mother did used to tell her Charles Dickens stories while milking the cows. It doesn't say who's milking the cows, whether Sabine was milking the cows and her mother was standing off to one side telling
Charles. Shouting it at her ear.
Yeah, and it was like, it would actually be easier if you milked the cows as well, ma'am.
Yeah.
But she is a remarkable person in her own right. I mean, both of them have plenty of time and energy for what would this be, a fifth or sixth act in life. Love to see what they do next. Probably a rest.
Yeah, Sabina hasn't actually said very much in her time as First Lady, but she has very outspoken views on various issues. And she wrote, do you remember this? She wrote a letter that they published on the president's website about the war in Ukraine.
I didn't really agree with a lot of it. I thought it was a little too pacifist.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I felt it didn't emphasize enough Ukraine's need for self-defense, but that's me. You know me, noted war hawk.
Oh my God. I have a fantastic bit of trivia about Sabina Higgins. If you take nothing else away from this podcast, this is what you should remember. Sabina Coyne was a bridesmaid at the wedding of singer Luke Kelly and Deirdre O'Connell.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
What a woman.
I love when people have lived long lives that you find them intersecting across lots of different other people's lives and famous lives. Yeah, that's the kind of track record we need.
Yeah, so the only other thing... Oh, sorry, we have, can name the four children. They have four children, Alice Mary, the senator, twins, John and Michael Jr. and Daniel. In 2023, Sabina Higgins was diagnosed with breast cancer and began treatment straight away. I believe she... We haven't heard much more about it, so I believe she's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So that is them, the former first couple of Ireland.
Another one to chip in. How she met Michael D.
Oh, yeah.
She was invited to a house party held by journalist Mary Kenny, who used to be way over in the feminist side and had her own journey. But the attraction was instantaneous, the couple told broadcaster Mary McCallan in an interview before the presidential nominations. I was just blown over the night I met him, Sabina said. I reached out and held his hand and that was it.
Oh, my God.
I probably should be, I reached down and held his hand. That is unworthy. I am sorry.
Any big social justice issues? So he fought for repeal the 8th. He fought for divorce to be legalised. He has championed the Irish language because he was then the Minister for Arts and Culture in the Gaeltacht. He helped establish the Irish Film Board and was responsible for the creation of T.G. Kerr. I found this out. I thought this was amazing. A lot of people believe that the success of Irish film is because of Michael D. Because he personally negotiated an agreement with Mel Gibson in 1994 to have Braveheart filmed in Ireland. He also repealed Section 31 that had banned Sinn Féin spokespeople from the airwaves 8 months before the IRA ceasefire. He has visited El Salvador in 1982 where to investigate the massacre of more than 1,000 people by the government death squads. He has a lot of dearly held foreign policy beliefs. He has been critical of America, for instance. He has been very critical of the use of Shannon. He's criticized he has criticized George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Benjamin Netanyahu, Tony Blair. He is ultimately a huge advocate for peace. He did consider running for president in 2004. But Mary McAleese seemed to be unbeatable. I wouldn't take on a woman from Belfast either. He then went to Palestine in 2005 and Gaza. Then in 2011, he ran for president in the same... That was the Martin McGuinness one, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm. In 2011, he ran for president.
And that's a real sliding doors moment. We've probably talked about it in the past. But this, on that final debate, just as a reminder, Sean Gallagher was in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Michael D, at that stage, he was either second or third. Maybe Martin McGuinness had probably figured he wasn't going to win at that stage.
Martin McGuinness is third.
Yeah. And there was all this thing about, was Sean Gallagher a bag man for Fianna Fáil?
There was an insinuation and an allegation which had no basis that Sean Gallagher was a brown envelope collector for Fianna Fáil, which he always denied. And it came from a tweet from a fake Twitter account. Which Martin McGuinness then amplified.
Yeah, with a twinkle in his eye.
And it knocked Sean Gallagher off the top spot. And
And it knocked him off his stride, because I think the thing is, like, if you were in any situation and a tweet came in and said such and such happened 10 years ago, and if I take you back, Aoife, to 10 years ago, and I just said this thing happened, you go, I probably did. Like, yeah. it was a rough night. You know what I mean? Like,
I was 24 and at it, so.
Yeah. That's a major what if-ery in Ireland, because in case people are wondering, so this is 2011 and there was very much politics as we know it is bollocks. All of these career politicians have caused the recession.
Yes.
Let's do it's the same thing. Every so often they'll say Michael O'Leary should run the government.
It was very clearly in the wake of the financial crash and people were very hurt and they were looking for something different.
And Dragon's Den would have been at the time where it's all these like can do, I'm gonna invest in your company, I'm a big swingy Mickey kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And stuff happens quickly. That's how we get stuff done, like in America. Mm-hmm. And so that was very much the fashion at that time.
When he won in 2011, he said he would only serve one term. He became, in 2014, the first Irish head of state to visit the United Kingdom. There's been a number of, are we saying they're controversies? Like, he praised Fidel Castro and publicly stated that he received the news of Fidel Castro's death with great sadness. And then he visited Cuba. And then in 2018, he ran again after saying he'd only do one.
Did we ever establish why he decided to stick around? I mean, it's a great job.
He declared he felt better at 77 than he did at 70, that he had changed his mind about running for re-election, ran again and won a historic landslide.
Mm. I mean, I would. Like, if I was in a...
Great house.
Great house. And, like, if there was an awful draft or it was, like, really cold, you know. But... I mean,
I covered that election the first election I covered actually when I moved to Dublin was Michael D's re-election. And there was a lot made about the fact he did yoga, that he was 77, but he was like young 77 and he was doing yoga. He did receive a lot of criticism during that election campaign that he didn't take questions, or the questions that he did take was the ones that he specifically.
Yeah. Maybe the questions are also shit.
He has been known to be very picky and choosy with the press about who he speaks with. But when you're the president, you can do that. So,
and like by and large, most questions are sort of like will have a try and trip you up kind of thing. And if you don't say it,
I think then, it's more as well, anything he does say turns into a headline. So I think he is generally, and the Taoiseach knows this too, and you've seen this, you would also, like, there are certain things, even when Leo Varadkar, for instance, was the Taoiseach, he didn't like speaking about his family background because he knew that that would be leveraged by the far right or people saying, oh, he's using the race card or whatever. So politicians know when they say something, it becomes a headline. And I think Michael D, when he did speak publicly, it was obviously very thought out and very ruminated on, and that's why things like the housing crisis and the Gaza ceasefire have been the main things he talked about.
I mean, there weren't that many, like over 14 years, like the fact that we can probably list them would suggest that this was not an unprecedented period of chaotic speaking out of turn.
Considering like some of his, if you want to go back and look at some of Michael D's doll speeches, he is incredibly fiery. He is incredibly passionate. He has lots of opinions. So it is a testament to him that he managed the presidency with such a bitten tongue.
In fact, we might even have a clip of just 1 year before he became president.
Yeah, so this clip that we're going to play was recorded just 1 year before he ran for president.
And this is on News Talk 106 to 108. I don't know why I said that. It's just what it says in the YouTube link. I think it might be from George Hook's program. He's talking to Michael Graham, who's this American commentator.
I was debating with him on a program rather like this. And I said to him, how can you conclude that Mary Robinson is anti-Semitic? And he said, I said, Bishop Tutu, for example. Bishop Tutu is anti-Semitic as well. You're going down that road. And really, it is very dangerous stuff. The fact of the matter is, look, young people from the United States are traveling all over the world again. They're welcome in Europe. They're backpackers in hostels. People are talking to them because the image of the United States we've got away from this warmongering is getting better. At least 47 million people that the likes of you condemn to no healthcare in a country that I was proud to work in. These people are going to have some healthcare. Okay. So this is the issue. Therefore, be proud to be a decent American rather than being just a wanker whipping up fear.
Yeah.
So this is like, will he go back to this? Will he be an 84-year-old swearing on the radio? I mean, it has to be a podcast in which he says, you can say that anymore as his title. So anyway, that's a diversion. There wasn't much really controversy by anyone's standards.
No.
That's half a generation, 14 years.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting that in the second election, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael didn't run a candidate because they didn't think Michael D. Higgins was beatable.
Yeah.
So with that, that's our 14 years of Michael D. Any standout? Why do you think people liked Michael D. so much, especially young people?
Well,
is it because he looks like a little leprechaun?
I think people warm. It's the connection. He turns up at things that don't look stage managed. So if he's a fan of Galway United, he goes to lots of League of Ireland matches.
Yeah.
So I would see his football supporting as being in comparison to, say, David Cameron suddenly turning out to be an Aston Villa fan.
Remember that? That was very,
you know, that kind of slightly Prince William again. You know, the first you've heard about it is,
yeah.
So it's more. First of all, I think longevity, and I think when you're over a certain age, you're sort of in people's minds. Over a certain age, a bit of crack, you're neutral in people's minds and approachable. Like people can, I think people make connections with politicians if they can project onto them their own views and opinions.
It's the Irish language and the poetry as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big, there's something very, I think Irish people romanticise, and I actually think Irish young people romanticise the presidency because the only presidents they have known.
He was also a poet who wasn't on the Leaving Cert course, so they had no deep-seated hatred of him.
That's
of having
true.
Had to learn his poems off
but
by
I
heart.
Do think we romanticise the Irish presidency. You know, they live in this big stately home, which no other politician in Ireland does. They live in a big stately home in the park. He speaks Irish. He speaks about poverty and the environment and, you know.
Yeah, and he was born poor. Like, not many people in power are born in straitened circumstances. There's not that many scholarship people in power. Pascal Donoghue, actually, a scholarship to Trinity. And people do connect where there's a sense of having dragged yourself up along the way, but without the balls out, crushing it, Jim Bro, you know, bootstrapping kind of shit. Just like,
just an understanding and a sensitivity that life is tough.
Yeah. And also, I think anybody would warm to somebody who's doing quite well for himself, who is a poet and like did a master's in sociology. Like, that's not chasing the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, there's hope for arts graduates yet, is what I'm saying.
So, yeah, 14 years of Michael D. Sad to see him go. But again,
yeah, I think credibility wise, head held high.
What a wonderful couple. Wish them all the best. Hope they hoovered for Brian and Catherine.
Do you think
saying that, I can't see Catherine being that picky.
Yeah.
I'd say she'd be grand.
Do you think, was there anything that they were like, would anyone notice if we took the...
Yeah, I wonder, like, is there any stuff on there? They were like, Catherine's never been here before. Maybe we could just take a couple of things.
Why is the paint... Why is there a really white patch on that wall? Was there something hanging there of value?
Yeah.
I mean, like, just on the house moving thing, it is such a strange thing to do in the human experience to move home after 14 years... First of all, to significantly downsize. I must, when they move back, like no matter what they're moving back to, I don't know what their house looks like.
They have
like
a nice gaff,
And they just, will she just, Michael, will you just get out of my space? I used to have a wing.
Yeah.
I used to have an entire
she
balcony.
She did, actually. Sabina did an RTE interview recently where she was just saying that she could not wait to get out of Dublin.
Yeah.
She was like, I hope to be brought back into the bosom of the West. She said, the West is awake and I'm coming back. And she was very dramatic about it. And it was lovely. Like all of us, can't wait to get out of Dublin.
Yeah, I doubt she's been stuck that, like, you cannot say she's been stuck in traffic because I have seen them heading back.
But she doesn't always, they don't always get the cavalcade. If she has her own driver, they have to sit in traffic.
Okay, I'd say they can use the bus lanes.
So all the best to Ireland's former first couple and new first couple, Catherine and Brian. And we will be back next Wednesday for a new episode of A Few Skips.
See you.